This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, this is an unexpected treat at 7 something in the morning. Lou Merlone is walking around the radio station. Hold on a second. Let me greet Lou with his official Greg Hill show drop, if we could.
Hey, it's Lou. No hose.
I like that.
Hey, it's Lou.
I'm trying to take that "Hey, it's Lou" thing to a new level. When I do my reads now,
yes,
you have accentuated.
Hey, it's Lou. No hose.
Hey, it's Lou. No hose.
No hose.
No hose.
No hose.
No hose. I don't want that CPAP.
What are you doing here this morning?
I got. I had to drop the fam off at the airport. They're flying out. They're going south a little bit, enjoying some time.
How long do you have? Without them.
I mean, only about 24 hours.
So that's it.
I was
thinking you might have Super Bowl weekend free. That's the greatest gift a family can give
a
father.
I was just kind of hanging out. But I have a project that I'm kind of working on the side.
A project?
Here. Yeah, a little voiceover type thing.
Oh.
Audio.
What are you doing?
Book type thing.
Like a book thing?
Yeah. So it's a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
That's not easy, especially for me. I'm not smart.
Are you writing it?
No, I'm not writing it. I'm just reading it.
Oh, you're like a voice on, like a book on tape?
Yes.
A narrator?
Oh. Yes. It's an audio book. So we do interviews at the chapters. It's going to be a fun little project, but it's a crap of work. So it's good. So I figured I could come in here for a few hours and do my thing and come in and say hi.
Is it Red Sox related?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
Are you going to tell us what it is? Or?
It's coming out now. I think pre-sales are there. Actually, it might be coming out in a few weeks. The book is called Fear is Fuel.
I see.
Written by Patrick Sweeney. So it's great. I love the book. And it's something that I've always dealt with, as far as dealing with things.
It's not like the Nomar story.
No. That would be a lot easier. Like if Alex Speer wrote it about the Red Sox or something, I'd be like, poof, rip through that puppy.
I'm going to be doing the VO for Five is Life, the Nomar Garciaparra story.
Are you really?
And I would also like to officially welcome you to the Book on Tape Club, Lou. You know, not everyone here has been able to narrate a book before.
Wow. Humble brag.
Riley, available from Harper.
Able to get that right in there.
Yes.
Now, listen, you had a big scoop on the station yesterday.
Scoopful yesterday.
And you were able to inform all of us that Mookie and the Red Sox are about $100 million apart.
They have been, yeah.
They have been.
And I've been talking about this now since probably November, but it's just more of like just kind of talking to enough people to be like, okay, they have tried. I mean, we heard the reports about the 5 and 100 years ago. The 8-200 was the last one we've talked about, where then after last offseason, there was another offer, and it was in that 10 low threes, 300 range, and the counter was 12-420. He's looking for Trout's money. So that's where I'm at with this Mookie thing. I know a lot of people don't want to trade Mookie, but I've known for a while like what he's looking for, and it's just not going to happen, and it's the reason why. And I have to believe they've tried 3 years in a row. I would have to believe this offseason was the fourth.
But
and they're at the point now where they're trading him for a reason, because they know. They can't get him.
Do you think letting him walk is a huge mistake? I mean, do you think that the Red Sox will regret that for a long time?
You mean playing this year out and letting him walk and not trading him? I don't think anybody wants to lose a great player. I don't think they do. They're not stupid. I know a lot of people think they are. They think they're cheap. You know, they've given out money. Their payrolls are $240 million. They're not dumb. They know he's a great player. He's one of the best players in the game. But if they can't sign him, you can enjoy the 2020 season with him. You can, and make a run and see what happens. And when he leaves, you're going to get a fifth-round draft pick for him, and that's it. Which, if you try to replace him, you will lose, because the compensation for signing a guy like George Springer, you'll lose your second-best pick, your fifth-best pick, and $1 million in signing bonus because you're over. So you'll lose that fifth pick you actually get for Mookie when he walks.
Is it possible?
So you can play it out.
Is it possible that this city, who cannot suffer Another blow. Loses both Tom Brady and Mookie Betts in the same calendar year.
What are you doing to Fitzy over here, for God's sakes?
Greg, I mean, listen, how quickly do you need to usher me off this program? My God.
Yeah.
No Mookie, no Brady. Now, in the NFL, when a high-priced free agent leaves, you get a third-round compensatory pick. So only getting a fifth seems like kind of a raw deal, especially
it's because you're over.
Okay, yeah?
If you're over the luxury tax.
Oh, because
which
you're over
you
the luxury tax, you'd only get a fifth.
If you're under the luxury tax, you would get a third. I don't think a second.
And you get, but an impact, but you can still get an impact player with a third in the NFL. Can you really get an impact player in the major leagues?
The problem is you get an impact player in the seventh.
Okay.
Tenth. You know what I mean? I mean,
you never know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I was a 10th round pick, and I was obviously had a Hall of Fame career.
No, I said impact player, Luke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Awkward.
Welcome to the, I got to keep the third seat hot if I'm sticking around, Luke.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. How much backlash do you think fans are going to generate if they look at, if they look at Sale and Eovaldi and say, for the next 3 years, I got to pay $46 million for two elbows that may explode at any time, but we couldn't keep Mookie?
Yeah.
This sucks.
It does. I mean, I agree. It's I think it's one of the reasons why the old GM's not here anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it was that studs and scrubs mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay for, I got to keep all these guys, and I don't care about the back end of the roster. If a guy goes down, we're screwed. Let's just hope they're healthy. This is a little bit different mentality of, like, you know, you need full roster, you need depth, you need organization, you need, you know, guys on the bench, rotation depth. So it's not fun losing a guy like that. I mean, obviously it makes your team a lot better. I would still contend that if this team's going to compete this year, it's got more to do with Sale and Price than it does Mookie. You know, Rafael Devers sort of changed a lot when you look at this offense.
It's studs and scrubs, but no hose.
Hey, it's Lou. No hose.
No hose.
No hose.
No hose.
How do you replace? You don't replace Mookie individually. So what are they going to ask? Are they going to ask for 10% more from Bogey? And hopefully you see Devers mature a little bit more. And who do you plug in?
No, Devers changed everything.
Yeah,
in my opinion. I mean, the year he had, you know, you lose a guy like Mookie, and then all of a sudden last year you see a guy like Devers. So, in essence, you had both of them last year, which is ideal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you have them both this year if you don't have the right deal out there for Mookie. But the fact that Devers kind of came up the way he did, all of a sudden now you got a three-hole hitter or a four-hole hitter, wherever you want to put him, five-hole hitter, whatever, impact, two-hole hitter.
Kid's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Lou.
Yeah.
Hey, text. Lou, it's Greg.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, it's Lou.
This texter says Mookie is not Trout, and why does he think he deserves that money?
He'll get it.
So it doesn't matter. He'll get it. He'll get
I don't even blame him. I mean, you know, they've been a year apart. You know, when he wanted 100, well, they offered 100, he wanted 2. So the next year they said, okay, we'll give you 2. Well, now I want 3.
Yeah.
All right, well, next year we'll give you 3. Well, now I want 4.
Now I want 4.
So, and with Trout off the market, Harper's off the market, Machado off the market, Arenado off the market, Rendon off the market, he's going to be all by himself this winter. And someone's going to give him that money. It's just, I don't think the Red Sox are going to go above where they're at, which is in the low threes, 300, and I don't think that's going to get it done.
The Dodgers are desperate for a star. They got signed on for the next next year, right? I could see the Rangers maybe opening that new fancy indoor ballpark. They're going to be desperate for a planet player, Southern guy, maybe even like the Braves. Braves got big money that I could see them contending for years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not signing a Boston. There's no chance Mookie plays beyond this year.
And it's not that he doesn't like it here. I never believed that either. I think he does. He likes it here if they pay him.
Sure.
You know, and unfortunately, they've had a bad run of signings. You know, it hasn't really worked out. You know, nothing this ownership has ever signed has worked. It hasn't. You know, Manny Ramirez is the best contract. They didn't sign him. So I think that's sort of sitting there, and they've moved on from a GM that maybe signed a couple deals they're not crazy about at this point. They're the owners, it's their money, so they okayed it, but still. So I just don't see them going beyond, and I think 300 low threes is a huge commitment, and that's still not enough.
By the way, Captain Longstick is aroused with all this baseball talk.
This is great. This is the longest baseball segment we've ever had.
Dr. Longstick.
Quick question, Lou. You know that the skeptics will say, not that they doubt the report, but where it's coming from. Are you convinced, I don't want to give your sources, but are you convinced that the Red Sox, or wherever you're getting this, is they legitimately offered him $300 million?
Are you asking if his sources are as legitimate as my Greenwich, Connecticut sources?
Yes.
Well, Mookie did just buy a house in Greenwich.
Mookie did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought he moved his kids out to Manhattan.
I feel like that Greenwich scoop really upset you. I noticed you're LOLing on Twitter. And I mean,
I was wondering if you've put like assault battery charges on Giardi and Curran. Because of what they've done to your reports.
Why is Tom Curran so upset that I suggested that Tom Brady may have purchased a home in Connecticut?
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Is it they don't want to allow me into the club? I mean, is it like a
deep, I work with Tom.
I mean, is it a TV? Is it some kind of a deep state thing? I mean,
no,
I just suggested that I had some information.
Yeah. So I mean,
what's wrong with that?
I think he double checked that information.
With whom? Who did he double check it with? I mean, who's he talking to?
I mean, who could he possibly be talking to?
Saul Redfin.
Now, I will say this before you go, Lou.
Yeah.
I think Christian's scoop yesterday was interesting, which is that there are 8 teams that are interested in Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Not 2 teams, as Ben Trollen Volen said on this show yesterday. You buy that? 8 teams?
Yeah, 8 offers? I don't know, but 8 teams probably serious thinking about it. I mean, if you're an owner, aren't you looking at your GM and saying, okay, listen, I'll give you a couple days. Put this thing in front of me.
How does it
look? Of how Tom Brady fits and what it looks like. Because it's Tom Brady. Shouldn't we at least do this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
I think you have to. And there's people who say that the marketing aspect, the brand aspect, has nothing to do with it. I think it has a lot to do with it. You're running a business.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to get Tom Brady for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
Why not do it?
He was all over the place. He dropped that like at the cross with Mutt.
Yeah.
And then at one point, too, I forget, somebody called in and they said, Brady's going to retire. And he goes, no. He goes, because I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's not. And I was like, well, Jesus, you're just throwing up scoops right now. It's just coming out of your mouth.
I think he actually dropped it 4 times during the show, but Glenn talked over it.
This is probably because no one heard it.
That's what I think.
We said, listen, Christian's got breaking news. Glenn, we need like a clean cut of this. Shut up for 10 seconds.
Will you be narrating Glenn's book, Short Arms, Long Takes?
No. You'd be cutting in on me the whole time.
Lou, Tom Brady to the Raiders. Done deal. That's where he's going to go.
There's eight teams.
Tennessee.
There's the Chargers. There's the Raiders.
Where do they build arenas for stars that are taking victory laps that maybe want one last shot at it? They build them on the strip or right outside. And Allegiant Field will be opening in July, and it'll be the house that Brady opened. And he is going to be a star for the world to come in.
Good.
Hey, we've never seen Tom Brady play. Let's all fly into Vegas, do a weekend with the guys, go see Brady. Gruden will love it. Mike Mayock, he's a veteran NFL guy. Everything about it. 2 for $75.
Well, what did they give Gruden like $100 million or something ridiculous like that.
So 10-year deal.
They don't mind spending the money.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah,
I could see that. I think it'll be crazy the next month. Or a couple months, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Oh, now Fourier is actually on the phone.
Oh, yes, this is going on.
Oh my God, blue signal went up.
Hello,
what is happening?
What's up? Listen, I'm feeling like you guys are having a secret party and I wasn't invited. I mean, like, what is this? Like Lou? Like what's next, Glenn? Like, I mean, if we're going to start dropping, you know, nuggets and stories and info, I would like to be included. I'm just saying.
Hey, it's good talking to you, Glenn. Hey, Christian, how you doing? Thanks for calling in the show.
Well, maybe Glenn could do that. Glenn could do that Hungarian voice bit that he does.
Dimitri, do you even realize you broke like 4 stories yesterday, like out of nowhere, just randomly, even at the cross?
I know.
Listen,
I didn't think Mutt was going to run with that. I didn't even think Mutt was listening.
How good is your sourcing on this story? I'm asking for a friend, Tom E. Curran, before he loses his mind.
I would say this first. I've never been wrong. When have I ever been wrong? Ever.
Jara did play, but that's all right.
Christian, what are the 8 teams?
Oh, I don't know the 8 teams. I do know one for sure is that it's the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers have Brady in his crosshairs, so that's a confirmed nugget. But yeah, up to 8 teams. I don't see why that is so hard to understand. Like Lou said, like teams would not be interested in him. It's like this is old, decrepit old guy that everybody just thinks is washed up. He isn't washed up. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this now. He's probably going to have one of his best years of his career next year, regardless of where he plays. Drop it, save it, hold it for later.
Do you think it's possible that I think everybody thinks everybody thinks that Dallas is going to get Dak. And is it possible you think that Jerry Jones throws tons of money at Tom Brady?
I think they're committed to the. I have a source inside the Dallas locker room also.
Of course you don't.
I do. One of their guys I went to high school with, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I talk to him all the time. They're committed to Dak Prescott. And that's just the way it is. And they're going to end up paying him a lot of money. They're not moving away from him.
McCarthy loves Dak Prescott, too, so they're not going away.
So that's, yeah, that's not happening. All right, that's all the information. I'm in line at Dunkin' Donuts. I got to bring back the food. They got my order wrong, so I'm kind of pissed.
Oh. Well, you're you're supposed to check the drive-through order before you leave.
I did check. All the kids are yelling for their veggie egg white wrap, whatever the hell it's called.
Rookie.
Hit the phones, will you, Scoops?
Get back. All right. Well, there's Christian. They will be on this afternoon. Christian, Lou's here. Lou's working on a book on tape, whatever it is. Projects left. I don't know whatever they
Please
call it.
Please turn to side two.
Audiobook. Whatever they call it.
For more Merlone.
You're not one of those guys who overacts the audiobook, are you? I can't stand when you get an audiobook guy who's a hardo, who's way too into it.
Yeah. Like, I'll tries
to do
those.
Like tries to do the accents and stuff like that. I mean, just Dentro.
You'd be a good audiobook guy, though.
I think I probably would.
You're somewhat. I mean, slow. You know, when you're reading part.
I don't have time because I'm focused on getting this radio station back to where it was at one point, and that's all on my shoulders. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but
lead us.
It's up to me to rise the. How does it go with the
Radio Atlas?
Rising tide raises all of the boats, or something like that.
That's the expression. Yes.
All right, Lou.
Well, you guys have a good show.
No hose.
Okay.
No hose.
Hey, it's Lou.
Live.
Hey, that was great.
He's playing the hits.
I love it.
Now, is this technically a crossover? If you're two shows away,
this is a crossover.
Was this sponsored by anyone?
We're going to talk more about this and maybe even the TNT tribute. So check it out at two.
By the way, just real quick. Where do you weigh in? Did you hear Scott from Weymouth?
I did.
Where do you weigh in on that? Do you think the coverage on Kobe?
Well, I heard the next guy call up the trooper, obviously, that passed away in the road, and it's very, very sad. But, you know, millions of people around the world and people calling the station know Kobe Bryant and know the disrespect. They should, you know and honor. That's the difference. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like if something happened to LeBron or Tiger Woods or Tom Brady, it's like it's affects everybody in the world. Everybody knows them. They've watched them.
Yeah.
They're fans of these guys, and that's where it's different.
And I think generationally, I didn't get the Kobe thing as much as like my kids do. I mean, he was giant influence. Mm-hmm. Giant influence.
Yeah.
So, all right, Lou, thank you.
All right, boys and girls.
Right, thank you, Lou.
We got to get to what is – we'll get to dumbest of the day in about 5 or 6 minutes. We're way late on that, but we got to get to what is trending right now.
Mudded Night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, don't forget, coming up on OMF this afternoon, they've got Teddy Bruschi 4:30, Dale and Keefe loaded with Tommy Kern and 1, Rodney Harrison 1:30. Of course, Dante Scarnecchia stepping away as the offensive line coach of the Patriots. That was the big trending news yesterday. Other football news, Bill O'Brien was named the GM down in Houston, so that Casario stuff apparently was not correct or
not
erroneous
happening.
or not going to happen. So Bill O'Brien gets plenty of power. And Gronk, this was Fitzy's lead at 6 a.m. this morning. He was chatty down getting ready for Gronk Beach in Miami.
At a time like that, you know, I did talk to him about after the game and, just talked. You know, it wasn't even all about football. Some of it was just, you know, about life and all. But, you know, I truly believe that, you know, he deserves the opportunity to go explore, to see what's out there.
Test the open market, talking about Brady.
I don't, Nick is all upset that Gronk said that. He doesn't think Gronk is helping. I mean, I don't mind. What's Gronk going to say? Of course Tom Brady has the right to go test the...
It's Fitzy's fault, guy. Blaming
but he
Gronk.
Knows that if Tom tests the Waddes guy, then the cap hit doubles, and he pretty much can kiss the goat goodbye.
But if Fournier says Dallas is out, I mean, it's Chargers, Titans, Dolphins, Raiders, Patriots, if you want to include them. That's five easy. So then Tampa, would they be a 6? Then maybe the New York teams? I mean, who are the 8?
Yeah.
Colts?
Colts, maybe.
Colts,
Boomer
Tampa.
Says that they're after Rivers, though, right?
And what if the Broncos, what if John Elway says, I did it once before, I can do it again, and swoops Elway, comes right in, says, here you go, Tommy, 2 for $70, let's party.
Well, you heard Lou talking about Mookie and the $100 million apart. He had that report yesterday, and John Heyman reporting the Red Sox more serious than ever about a Mookie trade. Sounds like that could be this week with the Dodgers or Padres. Red Sox did re-sign Mitch Moreland, 1 year, $2.5 million deal and an option for 2021.
Fire up the duck boats. Mitchy Two Bags is back, baby.
Versatile. I like versatile. Had some injuries this year, but he's still got something. Astros have appeared to settle on Dusty Baker. Celtics beat the Heat. Here's that Kemba Walker sound talking about whether he'll switch away from jersey number 8 in honor of Kobe.
I'm considering it, but, you know, I'm not sure yet. I definitely have tons of respect for Kobe. But, you know, everybody mourns a little bit different. You know, for me, I'm thinking I would love to, you know, honor him by wearing, you know, that number. You know, Kobe played hard each and every night, and I would like to honor him by doing the same. So I'm definitely thinking about it, but we'll see.
All right, Ken, thank you. Coming up during the news at around 7:30 is Harvard University hiding the Chinese spies.
Oh, great.
This is an irrational
fear. Right across the river.
I know. This is an irrational fear. And speaking of irrational fears, also during the news, death by raspberry-filled vanilla cake.
Oh, no.
What a way to go. We will get to all of that coming up on today's Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Coming up on tomorrow's show, the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, and breakfast with Baker at, I believe, 7:20 tomorrow, Ken?
Correct.
All right. Breakfast with Baker tomorrow. We can find out how the state is preparing for the coronavirus.
I'm going to wind up my pitching arm so I can throw some hard balls at him with this gas tax nonsense.
Yes. Yes.
We'll let you
You better do that because, you know, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
Quick heads up before we get to dumbest of the day. We did announce yesterday with regard to Greg Hill Foundation events that the second annual Hill Cup Pond Hockey Tournament is happening in February.
Yeah, and you better sign up quick.
Yes. So the new listeners who didn't listen to the old show on WAAF may not know about this event, but we did it for the first time last year at Gillette Stadium on the outdoor rink. And it's a great event. We've upped the amount of teams.
Nice.
64 teams this year. You can get in if you go to thehillcup.org. That's thehillcup.org. But it's happening, I believe, February, was it the 24th through March 1st, Danielle?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So get in on that. If you're a men's hockey league hardo and you want, I believe the dump trucks were the winners of the cup. They've had the cup for a year. We'll find out what they did with it. I'm sure.
Do you want to know
at some point? But go to thehillcup.org if you'd like to join me down there. And they have a great rink at Gillette.
It's awesome.
Games are at night, and then the finals are Saturday and Sunday. Quarterfinals, semifinals, Saturday and Sunday. It's an awesome event.
If only there was like a mall nearby that had like a host of like shops, restaurants, and a brewery or something where you could hang out
there
too.
Yes, you'll be able to get yourself some kind of a triple IPA. You and Rich Keefe can trade.
We can double dry hop it.
You guys can add that to your IPA club or whatever.
It's pint club, Greg.
Your pint club, whatever it is. Jeez. That the two of you have.
You can find. You can audit if you want.
All right, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Hey, moron.
What a dope.
Hey, idiot. Hey, dumbass.
The dumbest.
I mean, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
No, you are dumb.
Of...
Dumb.
The...
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Day.
I'm not dumb.
Dumbasses.
People are so dumb.
All right, we're a little late on this today because of the Kobe discussion and because we had to talk to the new Rose Savage, Boomer Esiason, who sent Danielle 24 roses. And because Lou stopped by, so normally we do Dumbest of the Day at 6:45 on this show. But, Ken, who is the dumbest of yesterday?
Today it's Harvey Levin from TMZ, their co-founder. He was on KNX in Los Angeles and had an interview. And he was defending, justifying their release of the news that Kobe had passed before the notification of the families.
He's justifying that the fact that TMZ went with the story before the families knew that their loved ones had passed away. Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
Number one, we dealt with Kobe's people for an hour before we published the story, and we were told very clearly that that she had been notified, number one. Number two, again, I got the tip initially from law enforcement, from a source that I've had for years. And then we talked to Kobe's people, and we were dealing with them for an hour before we published the story, and they said, go for it. at a point, we were all trying to confirm it, and we confirmed it, but they all knew, and they said, go for it, and they said she knew. So I'm not sure what he's saying on that. You know, I talked to one of Kobe's people today, and they felt that, you know, there was a leak that ABC published a story that all of Kobe's kids perished in the crash, which was erroneous. And somebody from Kobe's camp told me, you know, they felt that that may have well have been a leak from the sheriff's department, and you know, that they had their own issues when they walked out there. So I'm not sure what he's talking about, but I will say this. Did you guys do the story after we published it?
Everybody did the story after you published it.
I'm assuming you did it pretty quick.
I think everybody did, yeah.
So what's the difference?
Well, we didn't do it ourselves, though. TMZ reports.
Either it's right or wrong. So
right.
If you
and
did
you have
it,
a history of being right. We'll give you that. But here's the other thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, if you do it, you're in the same position because somebody could be listening to KNX as well as looking at TMZ, right?
Yeah, no, they definitely could.
Tapped with that explanation? I think at this point, TMZ is considered a credible, verifiable news source, right? Because they break
so.
A ton of stuff.
Yes.
Okay, and they're especially stuff in LA. They're always at the forefront of celebrity news. So I think it's there's a safe degree of assumption that they've vetted the story and the fact that Vanessa had been notified. So for him to say, "Well, you guys reported it, so aren't you just no?" It's not up to us to get us. You have a police source, Harvey. It's not up to us to get a secondary source to validate the story that you've published because you're a news outlet.
And what about the police source? Is he paying off the police source?
He has to be. He has to be, right?
And they're informing TMZ that that Kobe Bryant has passed away, and that and his daughter. I mean,
have you watched the show? Do we know what the 30-mile zone does? They will pay for any scoop. Anything salacious. If anyone thinks they got this in any sort of credible manner or form, I would like to introduce you to the Christian Fourier Bridge, and I'll sell it to you gladly this afternoon.
Yeah.
They pay for everything.
And what about the other families?
Here's the thing that's interesting about that, because, you know, when you have incidents where multiple individuals die, you know, they'll start identifying people at first and say, okay, we've identified these two people, but the other seven have not been identified pending notification of family. I'm pretty sure that a lot of these people's family members would have been aware that they were traveling on a helicopter with Kobe Bryant. So the assumption could be that,
of course, before you even get to try to get your ass together, like the husband of the female coach, the woman, the mother of three, that guy has to hear about it from TMZ or somebody calling up and going, hey, I just saw this thing. You know, was your wife flying with Kobe Bryant in the helicopter?
You hear on sports radio all the time, Greg, about how players are so thrown off or upset because they hear about a transaction involving them, which, of course, is big news on Twitter and how upsetting it is. Now imagine the life of the most beloved person in your world, your planet. Right. And you hear about it from Harvey Levin's Dirtbag Video Camera Society.
Well, yeah,
get out of here.
Compare like being traded to that news. I mean, I think it's. I just don't buy his. I don't buy his argument that Kobe's people said, "Yeah, go for it," and before anybody knew about it.
I mean, we're going to find that out for sure, right? I mean, he better be telling the truth about that.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh my God, the TMZ shutting down would be the greatest thing to come from this tragedy.
Really? Well, you don't like TMZ?
All those things with the camp, the guys standing outside, you know, harassing people coming out of hotels and events. And
hey, Gwyneth.
SUVs.
Hey, Gwyneth.
Hey,
how's that
Hey, Gronk.
We love you. Gronk, over here.
Mr.
Over here.
Kraft. Mr. Kraft. Hey, we're going to get the team back together this year, Mr. Kraft. Mr. Kraft. Shut up.
Here is Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
TMZ just reported that Michelle just received 2 dozen roses from her lover. I don't know. But hey, I'm not here to defend Scott from Weymouth, but it's all a matter of perspective and what you focus on. The song you just opened up with from Corrosion of Conformity, that drummer just died.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you Google good things that the drummer died, you'll find out good stories about him.
Yeah.
If you Google bad things, you'll probably find bad things. Mm. But two people die every second. And 4 people are born every second, and 50% of all deaths happen instantly. So when you take away all that celebrity stuff, yeah, we're just ants. But Kobe did a lot of great stuff, and if someone takes the time to Google it, he did a lot of things undercover that are coming out now that are really cool.
Yeah, all right.
Visiting kids and stuff. Yeah,
no, I think you make some great points. We are going to get to the news with Danielle coming up next.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Quick obscure reference before we get to the news, and it is from Steve, I believe. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Greg, I got an obscure reference. In The Godfather, Michael Corleone saw that his father was shot while walking by and saw it in the newspaper.
Yes.
Excellent point.
Obscure, not informing families reference from what might be the greatest film in the history of filmmaking.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
Are you a Godfather or Godfather 2 guy?
They're both excellent.
Not 3.
Some believe 2 is better than 2 is better than 1.
Maybe by
a tiny little bit.
By a skosh.
The news is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in the sexual health of men. You can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com or you can call 617-793-5000.
Well, a Harvard University professor is in trouble for allegedly lying about his ties to China.
Huh.
Charles Lieber, who chairs the school's chemistry and chemical biology department, was arrested and expected to face a federal judge yesterday. Court documents show that he did not tell the Defense Department about his involvement in China's recruitment program, which is called Thousand Talents Plan.
It's a
recruitment program. So basically, Lieber had a contract with this program where they paid him $50,000 a month. Plus a month. You heard that correctly.
Yeah.
Plus living expenses and money to set up a research lab at a China university. Lieber is accused of lying about his affiliation with the Wuhan University of Technology and his participation in the plan.
China,
big trouble there.
So is the guy like a plant, like a spy?
He's an operative.
I mean,
something sketchy going on here.
Kind of scary.
Kinda.
Well, there's a lot of people who think that the coronavirus is some kind of intentional germ warfare. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you've seen the conspiracy people, but...
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
Huh?
Have you seen the people in the cities that are quarantined that are barricading themselves by creating brick barriers?
That's...
To try to ward off
so
anybody who has that might have the coronavirus.
It's like the zombie apocalypse.
And I don't know if you saw last night, they had the robot uprising video, but they have the robots delivering the food to the people who are quarantined in the hotels so that
there's no further outbreak.
Right. Meanwhile, people are running around going, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the common cold.
This is fine. Everybody's going
to
be okay.
I heard there was a run on surgical masks, even domestically, that it's difficult to go to like a CVS or a Walgreens and just pick up like a little.
Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, man.
You probably need those super like germ warfare, like respirator ones, like the regular ones that you're going to use in the doctor's office when you're coughing probably aren't going to protect you from the coronavirus. But anywho, yesterday... the murder suspect in Connecticut, Fotis Doulos, reportedly attempted to take his own life. Now, he is the husband of the missing Connecticut mother of five, whom he's accused of killing.
Right.
He was found unresponsive in his Farmington, Connecticut home. He was supposed to show up in court yesterday for a hearing. And when he failed to show up, they sent police to his home to do a well-being check. And they reportedly found him there in his running car in the garage. Now, early reports yesterday afternoon had said that he was dead. But then later on, they adjusted that to say that his attorney said that his client did have a pulse and he was at the hospital on life support.
Oh, what a coward.
I know. No justice in that case.
No, he hasn't been found guilty yet.
No, they're still in the process of the trial. But we'll see whether he makes it through or perishes. We don't know. The latest on Kobe Bryant's pilot, I know we've talked about this, you know, at length this week, but there is some information coming out now from the NTSB. Investigators are saying that the helicopter was only about 20 to 30 feet from clearing the hilltop when it crashed. And that's the core scale. I looked it up yesterday. It's only like, it's just shy of 15 feet tall. So, I mean, the height of one helicopter height could have possibly gotten him over there. But the a board member for the NTSB said a preliminary investigation suggests the aircraft was in a steep descent when it slammed into the hillside, and that the pilot had become disoriented and couldn't tell, you know, where he was going, what the terrain was like.
Well, they were saying last night it was like a dive.
Yep.
Like he got so disoriented that that it kind of went into a dive and went right. I mean, it really is.
It's almost like, I mean, I know they have to let us know this or it's going to come out, but this falls into the, do we really need to know at this point? It's not going to do any good.
Yeah.
Did you see the woman in Australia that died during the cake eating contest? This is just.
Yes.
This is.
Yes. I mean.
I fear for your butter cake.
My upcoming butter cake challenge.
Yes.
You think it's going to be an issue?
So Australia Day was happening, and the traditional Australian cake is a lamington, which I think a lot of people would know by sight. It's like a sponge cake or like a pound cake that's coated in cocoa and coconut. Sometimes it has raspberries in the middle, but they're little. It's like a little rectangle kind of cake.
Mm.
So they had this contest in Queensland, Australia, where people would participate and they had to eat as many cakes as they could in 60 seconds. The woman, who was 60 years old, was jamming them down her throat. And all of a sudden it's not funny, she died.
Sorry.
She inhaled coconut, choked, had a seizure, and died. They spent 30 minutes trying to revive her with no luck.
We should ban all eating contests. A lot of people lose their lives in these eating contests.
They do, or at least people lose their appetite after seeing others vomit.
No thanks on the coconut, by the way.
You don't like that?
No.
I love lamingtons. Love those.
I'm not a coconut person. No, I think you either are or aren't a coconut person.
Yeah, that's true. There's really no middle ground with coconut. Like the Capital Grill coconut cream pie.
Yeah.
Probably the best dessert of my life.
I don't like the texture of it. It's like weird on a dessert. I just want my frosting to be frosting. No coconuts.
Fair enough. All right.
Coconut cream cake is the goat.
86 the coconut for Greg. Yeah. Speaking of food, there's a team of British scientists who have developed a meat patch for vegetarians and vegans to help them ease their cravings. Yes, this is true. Charles Spence is a scientist who specializes in experimental psychology at Oxford University in England. And he teamed up with a vegan frozen food brand called Strong Roots. And what they did was they basically made this patch that is bacon scented. And I hope it's not the bad faux bacon smell. I hope it's an authentic bacon smell. And they said that studies have shown that scent can reduce food cravings. And they said if you experience a food-related cue, such as smelling a bacon aroma, your brain doesn't know what's reality and what's fantasy, right?
Right,
so
right.
It can't
bacon!
Differentiate between the two. So you can essentially trick your brain into thinking that you're eating bacon just by smelling it.
No.
So they've created this patch to help people that are trying to eliminate meat from their diet do it more easily.
I feel bad for these vegans like Ken, because all they do every day they try to talk themselves into not enjoying meat, which their body...
Well, you should try this. If you cared about the climate, you would try this patch. It would be good for the show and good for the state.
Their body is craving bacon, and all they do all day is try to talk themselves into not eating it for the sake of the pig or for the cow or
for the trees.
I mean, now, does this work if you're just addicted to bacon and you're not like a vegan or something like that?
Can you,
work?
The morality, once you remove the morality part of it, whether it's climate or animal welfare or otherwise, you're SOL. You might as well just eat the damn bacon. if you had to guess where a homeowner dispute about an ugly house would be, you think maybe... it would be down south.
Oh, I'm guessing it's in Florida. Yes.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
So we're heading to Naples right now, and there is a big dispute in one neighborhood, which is, by the way, governed by a homeowners association. And a man has painted his $500,000 home into a very colorful looking eyesore. Now, I looked at the photo of the house, and it basically looks like someone took a bunch of paint can remnants and chucked it at the house.
Too bad.
There's pukey colors. You don't think you have any responsibility to your neighbors?
No.
If your neighbor did this, you'd be pissed.
I would not. I hate this argument.
Yes, you would.
The guy spent $500,000 on his house. Hmm? He can do whatever he wants to.
That's obnoxious.
It's his castle.
No.
So what do they want? They want to enforce some rule that he's got to paint it the way
they want him to repaint it and get rid of this smattering of Bob Rossness. His name's Jeff Liebman. He's 40 years old. They want it fixed right away. And we have some sound from attorney Michael Raheb.
I have an investment in a community and I've spent $500,000 on a home. I don't want someone to have a house like that that's going to bring down the value of the neighborhood. I'm sure if the neighbors say, look, we want this fixed right away, litigation doesn't guarantee you that. Litigation could take years.
Just, I mean, come on. Come on. It's so bad.
What's worse than an obnoxious homeowners association where they come in like, well, you know, we're all using this particular kind of grass. We don't do palm trees around.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
Blah, blah, blah. If I want to paint my house to look like the gas tank on the side of 93 with the paint spilling it down, or if I want it to look like Jackson Pollock fired a cannon at it, you know what? I'm going to do it because it's my damn house. Then, and I sound like Greg Hill right now, but I like it.
Listen, don't buy in a neighborhood where there's an HOA. Very simple. Well, they have rules if you don't like it. If you don't like it, don't buy that house.
Meanwhile, you know Nick is shaming those in the neighborhood in Newton who don't compost.
Obviously.
I do it.
Or recycle.
It
probably goes through
complaining about the chickens next door.
It goes, goes through the trash to see if people are recycling
it's
properly.
Too expensive. It's too expensive to compost.
I think it's your house. You should be able to do what you want.
A woman claims she was slut-shamed on United Airways for what she wore. I think, was it 2017? There was that woman who was shamed for her leggings. We talked about it on the old show. So this seems to be a little bit of a trend on United Airlines. But this woman was boarding a flight at Denver Airport, and she is from Colorado. She was heading out of state. And a male, she claims that a male United Airlines employee pulled her aside, and she thought that her boarding pass had an error or, you know, was torn and she couldn't board with it, something like that. And the guy told her that she was in violation of their onboard dress code.
What was she wearing?
She had on leggings, a top that had, it was like a V-neck top, but it had some kind of like strings across the top, like it looked like it had cutouts, and a knee-length cardigan. So she was pretty well covered, except for the detail part on her chest, but like her boobs, the boobs weren't showing, nothing like that. I mean, it's not, it by no means is it offensive or an outrageous shirt. And so she went back and forth with these people for 20 minutes. They wouldn't let her board. A female supervisor came over to apologize and said, we're sorry, but we just can't let you board with that, and then offered her a $100 travel credit. And the woman said she was pissed because she was singled out for no reason whatsoever other than to be embarrassed and humiliated about how she looked. A spokesperson for United Airlines has told several media outlets that the company is reaching out to the customer to, quote, better understand what happened, unquote.
Well, people used to dress up when they flew.
They did, yeah.
In fact, you still see older people do it, where the guy has a, you know, a suit cape, some kind of suit coat on. Yeah. And a, but
that was when the seats weren't 12 inches wide and a cattle call.
But I mean, think of, like, United Airlines, if they want to have some sort of a dress code, they could, but they should just tell everybody.
But this is not, I mean, I could see if you got on board in a bikini being like, hey, you know, cover it up a little bit, but this is not anywhere near you know, offensive to me.
Come fly the friendly skies.
Damn shame. You can't board in a trench coat anymore where father can enjoy his pipe as he flies Mohawk Airlines across the country.
Well, you know what Lou says when it comes to flying?
No hose.
No hose. No hose. That's it. All right. Thank you, Danielle.
No problem.
This is Mike from Florida. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I do have a neighbor in my neighborhood that has his house painted, let's say, Fenway Park green with magenta trim.
God.
It's an eyesore, but I bought my house because I'm like, I don't want to live in a place with an HOA. My dad has to keep his shrubs at a certain height all year round or else they give him a fine. What? I was like, no way am I dealing with that craziness.
Well, he gets fined for like for not trimming his shrubbery?
He gets a fine if he doesn't power wash his driveway. He gets a fine if he doesn't trim the shrubs. He gets a fine if he doesn't mow the lawn within a timely, you know, within a monthly or bi-weekly fashion. It's ridiculous. It's like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
But I actually called in about the scoff from Weymouth call that I didn't even hear it, but I heard you guys talking about it, and I wanted to kind of it's hard for me to agree with him because he's such an idiot, and I just think the way he presents what he has to say is the biggest problem. He's like Trump. I mean, if he just figured out how to say things the right way, it'd be easier to get what Scott's saying. But look, I think Scott's issue is yes, we are inundated with the whole Kobe Bryant tragedy, and it's a horrible tragedy. And Kobe Bryant, I'm not saying anything negative about him. I listened to that caller that was sobbing,
yeah,
and it brought a tear to my eye. And I'm not a basketball guy, but I realized the impact that Kobe Bryant had and what's going on with this horrible tragedy and all the people that died in that crash. But I think what Scott's issue is Scott looks at things in pop culture and it gets him frustrated because pop culture is obviously at the forefront of everything we see on social media and the media in general. That's why they call it pop culture, popular, the word popular. So he gets aggravated about, well, Kobe Bryant or Amy Winehouse or one of these high-profile celebrities dies and it gets nonstop coverage, but then somebody like Lane Staley or Dimebag Darrell or Vinnie Paul, they die and you don't really see it, Darrell or Vinnie Paul, especially the Abbott brothers, Vinnie Paul and Dime. They didn't want to be part of pop culture. They had an album called, Great Southern Trendkill because they were wanted to go against the trend. So the reason why they don't get the full coverage is because they don't want to be part of pop culture. So for him to get upset about it, I get it. But at the same time, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a non-trendish, non-pop culture thing, and he gets frustrated when the rest of the world isn't into it.
Yeah. So you're right. He's frustrated with the rest of the world, who he thinks is idolizing the wrong people. And we are up against the clock, but when we come back, we can hear what Scott from Weymouth had to say at 6:30 this morning about the coverage of the passing of Kobe Bryant. So we can take a listen to that and get your thoughts on that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.